Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Okay, welcome back. I want to address something really quickly here. Hour number two, if you
And then I want to address the fellow that called about the testosterone and congestive heart failure.
Well, I kind
of... But after yours.
But, well, okay, it's sort of related to the same one because it really struck my funny bone in not a funny way. When I hit my funny bone, it's not funny. I don't like it. And it's this whole arena of the worship that we do of our doctors and things like this and the frustration that so many people have with their doctors. And they think they are going to go train their doctors. They want articles from you. They want you to talk to them, that all those pressures. And it reminds me, I know I asked you this about 5 months ago, but bomber pilot syndrome,
sure.
where we have so many of our listeners, and it's understandable from a certain perspective, but explain one more time. We'll do this probably at least twice a year, so forgive us. Bomber pilot syndrome. Right. This drives me crazy, but it is so true.
But it's just part of human nature. Back in the World War II, bomber pilots had a horrible survival rate. Bomber crews were shot down at a furious rate, and the crews knew they were probably going to die. They're in England and they're flying across trying to drop bombs on Germany. And, you know, every time they went out, they had about one chance in three of dying, and you had to do 25 missions to get rotated home. And
The
odds on surviving 25 were really low. And, the crews generally had a very low opinion of the pilots because the pilots were officers and gentlemen by act of Congress. They got better food, better billets, better everything. But an interesting phenomena developed, and that is every crew had a low opinion of pilots except for their pilot. Every single crew, when you asked them about their pilot, were convinced that their pilot could bring that airplane home even if one wing was blown off, that pilot could save their life no matter what.
They had to believe that.
Precisely, and that's the point. Their life depended on the skills of this pilot. And so they imbued that pilot with almost supernatural abilities. Okay. My pilot, the other pilots stink. Their people get killed, but my pilot will get me home. Their life is on the line and they need to believe in something and someone. And they believed in their pilot. We do that with our doctors, unfortunately. We forget that we physicians, and certainly I am in that, you know, we are fallible human beings. We have good days. We have bad days. We have nights we didn't sleep well. I have, during my 40-some years in practice, had the unsettling experience to look at a chart of a patient that I have seen several times. And I look at the chart when they've come back to me for a recheck, and I look at the chart and I'm saying, why did I do that? I know better than that. That was stupid. Now, I didn't tell the patient. Hey, guess what? I just really did something stupid last time you were here.
All right.
I fixed it. Okay. But human beings are fallible creatures. And doctors are human beings. We have failings. We have weaknesses. We have good days. We have bad days. We have days we get it all right. We have days that we muddle through.
But what we realize at Longevity and on the air here is, unfortunately, there are many doctors that just don't know.
Or there are physicians who believe their own propaganda. The problem is that if a patient keeps coming to you, it's because they know you and they trust you. And they say good things about you. You don't hear from the people who think you're an idiot, because they went to see somebody else.
Right? Not many people do.
That's right. If you don't go back to the guy that you think really screws up. Yeah. And so doctors, by the nature of the world, we are reinforced. We get told wonderful things from all the people who keep coming to see us. And that's what you get fed a daily diet of. And it's really easy to start believing it. Instead of recognizing that, gee, that was really nice that this person's happy, but guess what? I know better. I'm just a person. All right. But yeah, bomber pilot syndrome is a real thing, and people do often trust we physicians more than we deserve.
And you've often said the importance of getting a second opinion. It can be life-saving.
Anytime the doctor or the patient wants another opinion is the right time to do it, and you should never, ever, ever worry about hurting your doctor's feelings.
Ever.
Ever. The doctor is a professional, and if they don't have the tough enough skin to tolerate that little thing, they don't belong in the profession.
Well, like the guy who called in earlier, you were going to comment about testosterone in women, and he saw no reason why that should be considered.
Well, because testosterone is not usually a cardiologist's drug, and it's not usually a drug that is given to women. But what most people don't realize is women have a lot of testosterone. They have more testosterone than estrogen, and they need it. And speaking of which, during the breaks, I delved into my file, and I found a study called, and it came, by the way, Frontiers of Endocrinology, published in March 13, 2020, Testosterone Supplementation in Patients with Chronic Heart Failure, a Meta-Analysis of Randomized Control Studies. And what they found was that most of the time when you're giving testosterone supplementation to people with congestive heart failure, they don't improve. And part of that is because if you look at the levels of testosterone they are given, they're given just enough to get them into the normal range.
Not enough to be adequate.
Not the optimal range.
Yeah.
But they did find in the subgroup analysis, if the patients received enough testosterone to get them over 25 nanomoles per liter, they did get better exercise tolerance, their numbers improved, their blood pressures improved. So if they got enough testosterone, they improved. If their levels were below 25 nanomoles per liter, they did not improve. Giving people testosterone is not, in and of itself, is not the answer. You have to give them enough. We're back to one of Dr. Mixon's aphorisms that I repeat over and over to my doctors. The proper dose of anything is enough to do the job. And that's true with testosterone and heart failure, too.
And to finish up this little segment, if you don't measure, you don't know.
Again,
back to bomber pilot syndrome, we've had over and over and over again, I have friends that have taken and heard about longevity, and when they talk to their doctors about it, their doctors use terms, oh, longevity, that's voodoo medicine. And they don't even understand what the tests are. So all I'm saying is that, yes, you may like your doctor, but there are times when you're not going to be able to train them. And this is why longevity is doing so well, quite frankly, is because we look at things a little differently. We call it leading edge medicine. And so if you would like to take advantage of the free health analysis appointments, we encourage you to do it. This might be a really good time. Maybe you're frustrated and you really don't know if you're getting all you need. Well, make a free health analysis appointment, figure out what some of your basic health risks are. And we do have some appointments running into May now. They go quickly. They're on a first-come, first-served basis. So go to our website, lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com, and make one of those free health analysis appointments at either our Tacoma, Kirkland, or Linwood clinics. All right, let us go to, let's go to Charlie in Buckley. Charlie, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Oh, you know, as always, if the politicians find out how good I'm feeling, they'll find a way to tax it. So let's keep it a secret, shall we? Just tricks you and me.
Well, Dr. Nixon, kind of like how your daughter says, happy quarantine to you.
That's right. Yeah, she's running down the trail, you know, and as she passes people, she yells, happy quarantine, and she just runs right on by.
No, my question's about, I heard a guy on the other radio station you guys switched to. Uh-huh. He's on later at night, like 9 o'clock, and he claims that by taking niacin, he has lowered his cholesterol.
Okay. It would depend to some extent of what else is going on in his life. Actually, the control studies are showing that niacin, in its most common forms, does not improve lipid profiles. So, you know, but niacin's got some very interesting effects. And so, you know, you can, and there are some forms of it that increase your metabolic rates, that increase the amount of energy that your cells can produce. But it depends on which form of niacin and what else is going on in his body.
I see. Because the wife, she turned around, she's actually got listed that she's allergic to, statins.
Uh-huh.
And so the doc turned around and says, you know, your cholesterol's elevated. So he put her on EZ-Timby, and I guess there's another regular generic name to lower her cholesterol, so she's been taking that, and then, lo and behold, her cholesterol went higher again. You know? And she's really watching her diet and everything like that, you know, staying away from Tillamook ice cream.
So, Well, yeah, staying away from Tillamook ice cream is a good thing.
Yeah, but that was in TV. Don't eat Tillamook ice cream, you know, like from Dr. Oz or something. I'm going, what?
I see. Well, Tillamook ice cream is a very rich ice cream with really good high fat levels.
But it's been a long time since I've had it. Would you guys stop talking about it?
About
good
ice cream?
Night.
Yes. Okay, here's the situation. Yeah, the form of niacin that seems to be the most beneficial is nicotinamide riboside. Okay, so nicotinamide riboside probably is the most beneficial form, and many people tolerate it pretty well. The problem is that the riboside form of it is fairly expensive, and taking enough to do much good is usually going to run you $150 to $200 a month just for the supplement.
Whoa.
Yeah, and of course insurance won't cover any of it. So, but you know it will increase your metabolism and energy levels to some modest degree, which can help to lower your lipid, your cholesterol levels.
Well, that's the other thing. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, what makes you think she's allergic to her statins?
Oh, terrible cramps. I mean, in her lower legs. In mm-hmm. fact, I thought, what would you be taking this for, that you're in so much pain, you're ready to have a heart attack, and you fall out of bed, okay? And you know what I'm saying is like, well, why worry about cholesterol if you're yeah. taking a pill that is almost making you have a heart attack?
Yeah, no, I would. Okay, clearly she does not tolerate her statins well. Right.
And 39% don't.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of people that have adverse effects with statins, but that doesn't sound like a true allergy. It is an adverse effect. It's a bad thing that you don't want to have happen, but that's different from an allergy. It's what we class that as is and intolerance. But okay, so there are other things we want to do with your spouse. And one would be to increase her metabolism. We want her to burn cholesterol. We want her to metabolize her cholesterol and use it. Cholesterol is there for a reason. Okay. It is one of the primary steroids in our body. And out of our cholesterol, we make all of our other steroid hormones. We make pregnenolone, progesterone, dehydroepiandrosterone, estradiol, testosterone. All of these things are made, and including all the cortisols, are all made out of cholesterol. So cholesterol is there for a reason. Problem is that as we age, we stop turning it into so many of the other things. We don't make as much of our downstream hormones, and the cholesterol levels starts ramping up almost like it's trying to force your body to make the downstream stuff, but it can't because the ovaries are tired and the adrenals are tired. And so you're not making the other hormones out of it anymore, and you're just getting these higher and higher levels building. What we have often found is that if we replace all those downstream hormone levels, if we give your body the things it's trying to make, cholesterol levels will often drop because your body says, oh, I have enough of that. I don't need to ramp up my production anymore. And the vast majority of our people get very good cholesterol levels without needing statins. But we do it primarily by giving the body the end organ products that it's trying to make out of the cholesterol. So it's a whole different process.
Sure. I understand that. You know, she's actually with the statin a couple of years ago. She turned around and was taking that, and she actually fell out of bed. And boom, right up and pick her up and everything. But I think the trauma of her falling out of that bed, because, you know, she's had x-rays, and I think the trauma turned around and degenerated her hips so bad. You know, there was nothing left with the joint or even the ball. And so she ended up having hip surgery, and she's, you know, doing great on that. It was about 6 months ago. But and so, you know, she gets around pretty good, but then she has COPD, and that's the exercise level you're talking about there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so also with the thyroid, what's a good level for, I'd say, a 79-year-old woman? What would a good level on a thyroid test be?
Well, generally, the thyroid test most of the doctors are going to do is called a TSH, thyroid-stimulating hormone. It's not really a thyroid hormone. It's a pituitary hormone that tells you what your body thinks. If your body believes you have enough thyroid, your TSH goes down. If it thinks you need more thyroid, your TSH rises. And I say we give them enough thyroid to get that TSH down around 1. The normal range runs from 0.4 all the way up to 5.4. And so many people will have TSHs of 3 and 4, and their doctors say you're normal. You are, but you're still feeling crummy. We try to push their thyroid supplementation till we get the TSH down under 2 and preferably down around 1. That's generally what I'm shooting for.
Thank you, Charlie. Appreciate the call.
Take care, sir.
Thank you. You know, earlier, Jerry, we were talking about the importance of not delaying too long. It's okay if you don't get your regular checkup or what have you for a month or two, but some of the statistics are coming in now. And with that in mind, I texted Dr. Dan Nelson, and I got him on the line right now. In fact, just so everybody knows, I've got Dan Nelson right now. And then a little later, we've been trying to get a hold of Dr. Brian McKay. We've had several calls about dentistry and what are you supposed to do during the pandemic there. I've got Dr. Weber calling in at 10:30 and Dr. Gilbert at 11:15. So there's these little mini perspectives here that are kind of important. Dr. Dan Nelson, are you with me, sir?
I am here, Pete. I've been listening. What a great show so far. This is good stuff. I can comment on so many aspects of it, but I appreciate you letting me on the show.
Well, go ahead.
I was just going to give a quick shout out. You know, you mentioned the bomber pilot syndrome.
Yes.
That's a great, great story. And I, early in my career, I actually practiced in Palm Springs, for 3-4 years before coming back up to Northwest. And, I had the pleasure and honor of having a number of those U.S. 8th Air Force veterans that somehow they migrated to Palm Springs to retire. And what a bunch of great, courageous guys. And a lot of funny, you know, amusing, harrowing stories out of the whole mix. But and of course, most of them are not, you know, with us anymore. But anyway, shout out to U.S. 8th Air Force veterans and all the World War II veterans that served their country so gallantly during that
yes,
time.
Yes, that's a good point, Dan. You were talking to me the other day about the dangers of untreated pain, and it seems sort of important to talk about that today. Tell us about that. You've been dealing with pain now as a pain specialist for like 30 years. So what are the dangers? What are the dangers of not treating it?
No, it's like so many things, you know, with this national lockdown, you know, people aren't getting their regular medical care, and that's not a good thing. I mean, delayed care means compromised care potentially. But I was talking to a lady earlier this week, actually, who was talking about her arthritis shoulder pain that would wake her up. And her comment was, if I could just get 4 hours of sleep straight at night, that'd be wonderful. Well, restorative sleep, and Dr. Mixon would definitely agree with this. Restorative sleep is so important. And so she was beginning to have episodes of heart palpitations, probably atrial fibrillation, I'm not sure, but eventually uninterrupted sleep, bad sleep can lead to cognitive decline, kind of dementia. I mean, there's all kinds of, that's just one aspect of untreated pain. If you're not getting good sleep at night because of pain is continually waking you up, that's not just an inconvenience. That's a high level health risk. So just wanted to bring that up. And there's so many others, but I thought try to focus on one, you know, that's a key one right there.
It is. You know, we had a patient a week or so ago that called and said, why do we need to sleep?
You know? Oh.
And, yeah. And I wish I understood all the metabolic, the chemistry that's going on in our brains. But without adequate sleep, you're right, we shift our metabolism towards fat. We raise all of our inflammatory markers. We increase pain and destructive cytokines in every tissue in our body. Our neurons don't fire in sequence. We do get confused. We can get disoriented. We can start to hallucinate. Depending on how much sleep you deprive a person of, you can make them totally non-functional. So, you know, we desperately need sleep, and anything that interferes with our sleep, whether it's bad endocrine levels, whether it's increased stress, whether it's not enough melatonin, whether it's too much pain, whether any number of things, if it interferes with sleep, it's interfering with good health. It just is.
Absolutely. And I would recommend, if people are interested, there's an excellent book by Dr. Matthew Walker called Why We Sleep. And he covers all this, why it's critical to sleep, because that restorative sleep and all the phases of sleep that we need to kind of reboot our hard drive in our brain, it's fascinating stuff. But it's critical. It's not trivial. It doesn't mean, I have a bad night's sleep and I'm going to be a little groggy. There's the implications are really significant for your overall health.
So with this in mind, we just wanted to remind our listeners that if you are struggling with ongoing pain, there are consequences, but you don't have to wait, because Dan is able to see you. Pain is a very justifiable reason and an essential reason to see your doctor. And of course, Dan, we've heard about all of the precautions you take. It's safe and mask and everything's clean and you can feel comfortable going in. So, they should just call your main number, 425-823-4000. That's 425-823-4000. And you can make an appointment right with Dr. Dan Nelson. So
right.
There you go.
And the other thing, Pete, you can go to our website, conqueringyourpain.com, and also register for an appointment there. And that's also got some good information. And
good.
Hey, if I can make one more comment, I don't want to steal.
Feel free.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
You know, the whole voodoo medicine thing, right, which I've kind of run into myself, you know, because I do stem cell, which is stem cell injections and treatment for arthritis. And, you know, some people raise an eyebrow. And I'm reminded of, and Dr. Mixon would recognize the name, Dr. Ignaz Semmelweis, who was an
Austrian. Oh, certainly.
and he was, he noticed at his obstetrical hospital, there was a lot of childbed fever that the women and babies were dying much more than at a regular hospital. And so he brought up the idea that all the docs were doing these autopsies in the basement and then going up and delivering babies without washing their hands. So he insisted that doctors start washing their hands before they went upstairs to deliver babies. And he was pilloried, almost, you know, run out of town for this crazy, you know, witchcrafty idea. He was castigated. His reputation was almost ruined by the fact that he wanted doctors to wash their hands after doing autopsies before they ran up to doing a delivery. So I just, from a historical perspective, I think it's to, you know, keep that in mind when you hear people talking about medicine.
Let me expand on Semmelweis just a little bit, okay? The nurse midwives that were delivering babies had a much, much lower incidence of childbirth fever and death among their women than the doctors did.
That's
because the midwives, being women, were more fastidious. They washed their hands. They got rid of the blood between deliveries.
Right.
And he figured out that was probably the issue. Now, you said almost. Actually, his reputation was destroyed. He was fired from that hospital. He was then rehired at a different hospital where when he tried to make the doctors wash their hands, they rose up in rebellion. He was not only fired this time, he was admitted to an insane asylum where he was beaten to death by his jailers. So he died. So yes, his reputation was ruined. He was run out of one medical community, gone to the second one, run out of that one, admitted to an insane asylum because he believed that washing your hands was a good thing.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Yes.
Yeah, he was called a voodoo doctor, maybe, back then, just like some of us, like you, Dan, and you, Jerry.
That was probably one of the kinder words they used.
That's right. Well, he was literally called insane because he believed there was something invisible carried on your hands that could be transferred from patient to patient. Yeah. Our profession is not always kind to its practitioners.
Martyr of sorts, yes.
That's right.
Thanks for filling that in. That's great.
So if you folks would like to see Dr. Dan Nelson here, well, yeah, he's a real voodoo doctor because he does stem cell therapy. And the majority of regular practitioners out there don't understand it. So Dan is a dangerous person.
That's right.
Very dangerous. Very dangerous. Right. So if you, however, would like to see Dr. Dan Nelson, like I have, I've nearly put him in my will. I'm considering it. He blessed me so much,
and I've made this guy rich. So you know, getting in his will is a good thing.
So in any event, you give Dr. Dan Nelson's a call at 425-823-4000. I wouldn't procrastinate any longer, folks. Deal with the pain. 425-823-4000. Dan, we got to go, but thank you. I'm glad I caught you, and thank you for calling in.
Hey, great show, guys. I'm going to continue to listen. All right. You guys
okay.
About.
All right. Thank Bye-bye. You. Thanks All right. a lot. All right. Okay, let's do this. Let's take another call, shall we? Let's go to Bill in Shelton. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hello, Bill.
Oh, can you hear me?
You betcha.
Okay, I'm having a hip problem here, and let me read this to you quick. We have a impression. There's similar left hip joint arthrosis with bone on bone, mild flattening of femoral head, marginal acetylite formation. There is moderate to severe superlateral right hip joint spacing narrow. Okay, but I was wondering, did you hear that?
Yes, we heard it. Why? The question is, why are you talking to me about it instead of your Dan Nelson or your orthopedist?
Okay, I went to my pain doctor, and he's recommending exosome therapy for the left hip.
Okay.
Do you think that would help, or is it anything that should? I had two stem cell done. Okay. I had the one they take out of the hip down in Oregon, and then I had the other one done with the
umbilical
baby cord.
Yeah.
And the first one worked about 9 months. It worked pretty good, and then the second one was no hip at, was no help at all. And then with this, you know, staying at home, when this thing breaks, I was thinking I'd maybe time to get this done, or should I just keep kicking the can down the road?
Okay. Well, several things. You said that when they took the bone marrow out and injected your own stem cells into the hip, it helped for about nine months. So you got improvement. Yes. But you didn't get a cure. So it sounds to me like you needed some touch-up work there. But instead, you went to do some of the other stuff. The umbilical cords, most of those don't have much in the way of viable stem cells unless you left the United States and went down to Panama and had Neil take care of you down there. And that's about $30,000 for that trip. So... If you're staying in this country, that most of the other stuff you were doing was not as effective as the first thing you had done, which is something Dan does. And I, you know, the doctor that just called in, I'd say go back and get another opinion from him. There are some other things I think might be of benefit that I actually would like to talk to Dr. Nelson about in the near future. That someone like you might well benefit from.
Okay.
That
I'm sorry.
That would involve measuring the indicators of what we call SASPs. These are products produced by senescent cells. These are senescent cell products in your bloodstream, and lowering the number of senescent cells plus giving you the sort of stem cell therapy you had first would, I think, increase your chances of getting a good result. So I'd really like to talk to Dan about people that are resistant or have had failures like you, kind of hitting you with a double therapy. I'm not real thrilled about the exosome aspect for that, for your particular problem.
Okay.
The exosomes, if you get the right exosome company, and there are probably 50 companies out there now selling exosomes of different potencies. There's one I've identified that I really like that I have used for my own exosome therapies, but not for a localized hip like you're talking about, because exosomes are so small. If you inject them in the hip, in 15 minutes, they've diffused throughout your body, and there's no more in your hip than there is in the rest of you. Okay? Exosomes are so tiny. They're not like stem cells. If you put real viable stem cells into a joint, those stem cells pretty much stay in that joint. The exosomes don't. And so while exosomes have benefits, and there are things that I think exosome therapy can be very useful for, not that hip.
Okay, so go see Dr. Nelson, right?
Go see Dan Nelson.
No question about it. Here's his number again, 425-823-4000. A complete no-brainer. Definitely, you'll want to see him. 425-823-4000. All right, we completely blew through the 9:15 break. We just had so many good things and what have you. So we got to take this break.
We certainly do.
And so
somebody's got to pay the bills.
That's right. And it ain't going to be me. No, anyway, we've got to.
You went through the break.
That's right. If you would like a free health analysis appointment, to get the two free tests, the two free masks, and the $100 worth of supplements, the longevity supplements, of your choice, by the way, just go to our website. Has there ever been a better time to get healthy? I don't think there's been a better time. Go to our website, lmclinic.com. Make the appointment. It is easy to do, and we'll be back. Hey, welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. And this portion of the program, I was going to say, is sponsored, but no, it's not. Rajiv Nagayach and Aging Options is not a sponsor of the program.
He's just a nice guy.
He's just a wonderful friend. But Aging Options, you know, there's the question, do you have access right now during this pandemic to documents, emergency cards, instructions, you know, should something go wrong? Well, people have been procrastinating with their estate planning. And if you haven't updated your estate plan in 5 years, you really need to. You know that. Laws change, and it needs to be updated. Well, Rajiv has done it again. I mentioned this last week. He's got the emergency legal kit. And, again, he's not a sponsor. I'm just telling you, this is so smart. I just can't resist telling you about it. It involves a financial power of attorney, healthcare power of attorney, living will, advance directive, the HIPAA authorization, handling of remains, will or trust, emergency wallet card, and instruction to agents. In other words, you can do it all over the phone and over the internet or what have you. You don't even have to go in and see him. It's so cool. We do telemedicine now. Well, he does, what is it, telelegal, I guess, is the term. I'm not sure what the term is. But leave it to Rajiv and Aging Options. It's the emergency legal kit. And I just highly recommend that you give Aging Options a call. You can check them out online, of course, at agingoptions.com. Or you can call 877-ELDER-47. 877-ELDER-47. And ask about the emergency legal kit. It's simple. It's easy. And you don't have to procrastinate any longer. Take care of it. All right. Let's take some more calls, shall we? Let's go to Kathy in Bellevue. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
How can we be of help, ma'am?
Sure. Thank you very much. First of all, on and off, I've had low iron readings, and my primary doctor has said to me, quote, unquote, would you like to have some iron infusions? And usually this specialty clinic that has offered them for my system, my medical system, has said that they usually do two or three infusions in about a week period. And I think I may have read something, but my question is, do you know of anything negative on that? And right now I feel great energy. So I guess you could say, okay, there was a reading a couple of months ago, 29, which is pretty low. I think hematocrit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that is low.
And I wonder if you could comment on this, please. And you know, okay. I am taking, by the way, I am taking one teaspoon of liquid iron supplement once a day in the morning with usually orange juice or passion fruit juice.
Mm-hmm.
And currently I feel wonderful right now.
Okay.
And so I wondered if you could comment.
Okay, a couple of things. First of all, hematocrit or 29 is low.
Okay.
What a hematocrit is we draw some blood. It goes in a little tiny capillary tube. We spin the tube in a centrifuge, and you pack all the red blood cells down to the bottom, okay? Hematocrit is the percentage of that column of blood that is made up of red blood cells, and the rest is basically serum. So 29% of your blood is red blood cells by volume, which means that 71% is white cells and serum. It's those red cells that are carrying the oxygen. We like to see that hematocrit up into the 40s, okay?
40, oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, 45 or so, you know, 42, 43, 45. That's a nice range.
Okay.
When you're down in your range, you're anemic. The question is why.
Right.
Okay.
Now, do you know, my age is 78 and a half, okay?
Uh-huh.
I do have quite a few medical issues.
Uh-huh.
One of them is kind of a second question too about congestive heart failure, which I was diagnosed about 14 months ago. So that's kind of a second question, but right now, you know, I had 2 months I had horrible back pain. That's a another issue. So many issues, but now I feel great energy. I feel wonderful. Good. I can say that. And that 29 was a few months ago, and I saw my doctor. I had my virus test the 31st, and it was done by ex-chief of the staff of the UW Bellevue Clinic, okay, and I was negative, thank heavens. But do you have any, is there any comment that you care to make about infusions?
Yeah, a couple of them. First of all,
thank you.
Okay,
thank you very much, doctor.
Intravenous iron is generally a safe procedure, but you know there can be nasty reactions to it. The question is why an infusion? Why is your iron or why is your blood count low? Okay, if you've got multiple problems, including congestive failure, you may not have an iron deficiency per se. So hematocrit doesn't tell you about iron; it tells you about the red cell mass. And so I would be doing, you can do a total iron, an iron binding capacity, a ferritin level. We can actually measure the amount of iron in your system and see how much iron storage you've got, how much, you know, are you high, low, or in between. You could also be anemic from what we call the anemia of chronic disease. You got multiple health problems going on, and frequently you just, your bone marrow just starts damping down and not making blood cells like it's supposed to.
I can tell you one thing. It's a little delicate matter to bring it up on the radio, but occasionally, not too often, I've had tarry stools, and I believe I saw it. Yes, and I think I've had that last week. I usually write it down. I the last few times it's happened, maybe only three times a year.
Okay.
And I saw the GI doctor about this. So
good.
Obviously, yeah, there's something there.
Did they do a colonoscopy?
Well, in January of this year, last year, the GI doctor wanted to do it, and it was a busy time and all that, and I thought, you know what, I think he's trying to make some money on me. I hate to say that, but I just wasn't really in the mood to do this, you know, the procedure. I've had it many times. And I think when I went to the GI doctor many, many years ago, the surgeon said, I was trying to remember here the exact words or anything. And I said, well, I don't really want surgery. And I understand that a hernia, which was noted as the cause of the situation, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Can you relate to what I'm saying right now?
Yeah, but here's what scares me. Okay, you just said something that every doctor in his right mind gets cold chills. A woman in her 70s who has black tarry stools.
Okay.
That screams gastrointestinal cancer. Okay.
Oh, really?
You're bleeding into your gut for some reason. Now, it could just be a hemorrhagic polyp. It could be ulcer disease, but it could also be a cancer in your colon. You need to go in.
I report that to my doctor because it happened about a week ago.
Yes. You need to go in. You need to get worked up. Someone needs to look at your entire alimentary canal. They need to look at your stomach, your duodenum from the top, and then look at your colon from the bottom, because something is bleeding in your gut, and we need to find out what. And the single most common problem in your age group is a cancer.
Really?
So
quit
fooling around. Get in. Get it checked out.
Yeah. Well,
so,
you said,
so,
ma'am,
so
you
first,
said.
So you're saying first go to my main doctor, and then probably get a referral for a colonoscopy.
If you need referrals, yes. Yeah.
But, you know, doctor, I want to say, one of the reasons I said no a year ago, I think, was it only had been maybe 3 years since the previous colonoscopy, and I questioned that.
Here's the problem. That colon cancers usually begin in what's called an adenomatous polyp. You get a polyp growing from the wall of the colon. The cancer starts at the tip of the polyp and works its way down to the colon. But when you're looking in a colon, it's not like a clean pipe, okay? It's convoluted. It twists, it turns, and you're looking with this little scope at the end of a 60 centimeter long tube.
Okay.
You can miss them. And so if somebody's got evidence of bleeding in their bowel, you've got to go and repeat it. Even if it was 6 months ago, I'd go repeat it.
And with that in mind, I've got to say goodbye. We've got a break. We've only got so many minutes in the hour. A quick note. We do only have a limited number of free health analysis appointments. And if you recall, last week I told you that we had this special offer of $100 worth of longevity supplements when you come in for your free health analysis appointment. And 3 days later, they were all gone in April. So we've opened up May. We only have, this is frustrating, but it'll be still good. We've got seven or so appointments in Kirkland in May, about 14 or 15 in both Tacoma and Linwood. So there's a few out there. If you want one with the two free tests, the free mass, and $100 worth of longevity supplements, man, there's never been a better time to make a free health analysis appointment. And you can do it at lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. Boy, don't procrastinate any longer. There's never been a better time to get healthy. For goodness sakes, go to lmclinic.com. And we've got Dr. Brian McKay when we come back.
And there's never been a bad time to get healthy either.
That's true. Oh, yes, how clever of you.
See?
All right. We'll be right back.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Don't believe the lie that you have to fall apart at the normal rate and see what your options really are. Check out the free longevity seminars at lmclinic.com.
Stay tuned for more.
Welcome back. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Pete Talbot with Dr. Jerry Mixon. And for the last few weeks, we've been getting calls about what do I do? In fact, I got a call from a very close friend of mine with a toothache, and he said, what do I do? What do I do? Anyway.
Say, go see your dentist.
Well, I know, but they couldn't find one that was doing any business. So we've got Dr. Brian McKay with us. Brian, good morning to you, sir.
Hello, Brian.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Where are you at today?
Where I at is it's Seattle, rainy Washington.
Oh,
came back here, Thursday morning.
You come back and joined us here in Gloomtown. All right.
Hey, Dr. Brian McKay is my dentist. He's Jerry's dentist. He's Jerry's mother's dentist. He's, well, you know.
Yeah, my wife.
That's why everybody.
He doesn't see my daughter.
Well, oh, really? How strange is that? But in any event, let's just say that, Brian, you truly are on the leading edge of dentistry, and that's why we often have you as a guest. So tell us about Advanced Cosmetic and Laser Dentistry, your practice in Seattle. Are you open? Who you seeing? What's going on in dentistry?
Well, try as though I could. I couldn't see patients after the most recent edict by our all-knowing governor. Uh-huh. And I haven't been able to work at all other than, I don't know, I've seen more than the usual number of emergencies because some people's dentists aren't answering the phone or they don't have a dentist and they won't answer your phone if you're not already a current patient. So yep. I've had a fair number of emergencies, but that's still not a lot compared to, like, physicians, like real doctors, like I like to say. And so it's mainly just getting people out of pain and fixing teeth that are broken so that they can chew and do, you know, crazy things like that.
Okay. So they've got chronic long lasting irritation, don't come see you right now, but if they have an acute problem, if something flares up, something breaks, something suddenly hurts, then they can come see you. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. You know, I think that a chronic long-lasting problem is an emergency. The problem is that we can't see patients, and I don't have a support staff now. I mean, here's the sad yep. thing. I had to lay my entire team off.
Mm.
Yeah.
I know.
Sad.
Yeah. I know.
It's really sad.
It's nuts, though. I mean, we got that initial thing out of Olympia that said, no, you can't go to only emergencies only. Well, I got to classify what's an emergency. So we weren't doing routine hygiene care, that sort of thing. But people that had chronic, you know, really big problems, we were still dealing with.
Sure.
And helping people get put together. I think not having any teeth to chew at all that's a chronic problem.
Yeah.
And it's a big problem.
Yes, it is.
Call me crazy, but that is. But pain, certainly periodontal disease. We did a bunch of cases with people with advanced periodontal disease that we were where our diagnosis was acute shortage of titanium.
I see.
And so we were able to help. That's dental implants for all of you at home.
That's right.
So yes, we have been able to do some of that, but you know, at the end of the day, the social shaming of people that might interpret what we're doing as elective. What's elective? I guess.
Well, elective is something you don't have to do, but you just want to.
Don't get me going.
Yeah.
So what's the general scuttlebutt within your industry? When do you think you can open your doors again?
Well, the edict from Olympia says May 18th. I keep hoping on sanity from on some kind of sanity from Washington, D.C., which, you know, there are voices in the wilderness, but, you know, turning the ship around is tough, and the sooner we start working on that, the better. I think May 1st is more than generous for a time to bend the curve. Oh, yeah, already did that, to diminish the number of people exposed. Impossible. It's all going to happen, so let's just get going.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are 14 states that are opening now in May, in early May, that are making some significant progress. Texas is mm-hmm. relaxing their rules as of the 20th, which is Monday.
Monday. Yeah.
And, you know, so I've got friends in Texas that are quite thrilled about the fact that they are starting to loosen up. The Dakotas will be opening soon.
That makes sense. I would imagine
Dakotas are
Kansas.
Open now.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, the Dakotas, Utah, there's several states.
Kansas.
That, I think seven or eight states. Yeah.
That have
not done any shelter in place rules. But I think there's 14 states that are with shelter that are now by the 1st of May or so are looking at beginning step one of opening. So it's just Washington is not on that list. For some reason, they've decided to do a group. California, Oregon, and Washington have said they're going to open together. So we have to wait for California, I guess, to get ready.
Well,
you know what I call that, Pete? Leading the stupid. That's the blind leading the stupid.
Listen, let's make a point here. First of all, Dr. Brian McKay is with Advanced Laser Cosmetic and Laser Dentistry. And we've been talking about pain and, you know, cavities and chronic problems like that. But you do cosmetic dentistry, too. That's a very big part of what you do. We don't have time to talk about that right now. But if you're unhappy, it's not going to be long, and his doors are going to be open. So whether you have general dental or maybe you've got a missing tooth or your teeth are just got cosmetic issues that you want to deal with. Really, we've been referring to Dr. Brian McKay for years now and for very good reasons. So let me give out Dr. Brian McKay's office number. When they call, is there any reason for them to call now, or should they just keep the number for when you're open?
I think it's wise to call now because that will help their impulse.
Okay.
And we'll have a voicemail from them with a phone number to call them back, or an email, whichever.
Okay.
So once we get up and rolling, we'll be able to contact them and find a time that fits for them to have a consultation.
Terrific, Brian.
An ugly smile is an emergency to be fixed.
Okay. All right. And Dr. Brian McKay, Advanced Cosmetic and Laser Dentistry, 206-720-0600. 206-720-0600. Thanks, Brian. Hey, and don't forget, we have two more hours. You can find us on our website at lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. Push the podcast button at the top of the page, and it'll list out where we are for the next 2 hours. And go ahead.
This is Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho and Conquering Your Pain. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, we are holding off on our regular Saturday 11 a.m. broadcast, but we are still seeing patients both in person and remotely using telehealth technology. We offer state-of-the-art interventional pain services, including stem cell therapy for shoulder, hip, and knee arthritis, as well as for chronic low back and neck pain. Call us today at 425-823-4000 or visit our website, conqueringyourpain.com.